Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Maria, thanks for the news, but I got to tell you, I think I told you this once before, it's rather surreal for me to stand here and then hear you play a tape of me talking. It's just, it's kind of surreal. I feel like I'm in the Matrix.
I always like that when I have a story that you've done earlier in the day and I'm like, I'm going to get the Brad
story
out.
You're just trying to mess with me. I get it.
No, but it's a good story. Okay. And, you know, I think for a while there, we only thought it was St. Louis County that did it.
So. Yeah. And it will be favorable for St. Louis County at the end of the day, because there's a lot of evidence of that price fixing, and obviously that violates a lot of laws. And bringing down drug prices is obviously a good thing. So
yeah, very good.
It should turn out well. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Another thing I hope turns out well is Vaughn. Vaughn's been holding through the break, and Vaughn, I appreciate you waiting, my friend. Welcome to Camo X.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. One of the things that I would like to speak about is the perception that people are talking about removing police officers from the force. And the instance of the East-West Gateway thing, there is a perception that that social workers are being looked at as a replacement to police officers, which I don't think is the case. And I think that putting an emphasis on hiring police officers as opposed to social workers is really a disservice, because in general, the ability to bring in qualified police officers is not something that is a unique situation to the city of St. Louis specifically, but that inability to bring in qualified police officers does not take away from the need to bring in people who can work in addition to or support to the police officers.
Well, first of all, Vaughn, you are 100% correct in that there is a place for social workers, and anyone who claims otherwise is lying. It is an essential function, particularly in St. Louis, where you do have a high degree of violent crime, to have social workers available to go and to diffuse situations before they happen and maybe intervene before they even get to the position where violence erupts. Having said that, what we've seen under Mayor Tashara Jones, for example, in April of 2021, when she put her plan together for the fiscal 2022 budget, she eliminated 100 police officer positions in the budget. And since then has eliminated additional positions for police officers. So while you'll never hear me talk about that social workers are not important, because they truly are, and I think that's easy to see, what you're seeing in the city is this idea that it's an either-or proposition, that we can only hire either police officers or social workers, so we're going to emphasize the social workers, when in reality, it can't be an either-or proposition. It needs to be both. And yet, I don't know that we're seeing that.
Now, what you are seeing is not the...
Hey, sorry to bother you, but we can hear you plain as day
Okay, we're going to have to let you go, Vaughn. I don't know if maybe you're getting pulled over by a police officer. I'm not really sure what that is, but we're going to have to let you go now, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you calling in. And it's true. And to me, we've had a lot of people texting, and all during the breaks, I'm always responding to text messages because I always try to respond to every text message that's sent in during the course of the show. Don't always make it. Forgive me if I don't respond to yours because I only have a limited amount of time. But there have been more than one of the text messages coming in tonight talking about that social workers do fulfill a relevant position when it comes to diffusing crime, particularly in family situations, more so than in criminal situations. And in family situations, yes, they can make a difference. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But what I am suggesting is, and we even heard it in the extended coverage of the East-West Gateway Council meeting today, is that Tashara Jones, as the mayor, and Megan Green from the Board of Aldermen, want to increase the number of social workers, but yet there's no commensurate desire to increase the number of police officers. Are they having trouble hiring police officers? Absolutely, because it is a problem. But that's why it's critical. If you heard, for example, when Steve Ellman, St. Charles County Executive, called in, when he was in the state legislature in the 90s, there was a cooperation between the city and the state of Missouri. And having state troopers take over some responsibilities on the highways, which would free up the city of St. Louis police officers to do more policing within the city, not including the highways. And that brought down crime, brought down murders, I believe, according to Steve Ellman, by about 50% over 5 years. That's an amazing achievement. That's an amazing achievement. And it was done by a cooperative effort between city and the state government. But we don't really see that here. And do you think for a moment, whether it's our current Governor Parson or any future governor sitting in Jefferson City, if that governor received a phone call from the mayor of St. Louis saying, we want to cooperatively work together to decrease crime, what do you think the response of that mayor is going to be? How quickly can I help you? Because crime is a state issue, and it impacts the entire state. Whether you're in Joplin, Kirksville, or Cape Girardeau, crime in St. Louis impacts not just our region, but also the entire state. But yet you're not that. There are no phone calls like that coming from the mayor's office to the governor's office. That's not happening. And if it were to happen, there would be instant cooperation. I promise you that would happen. Hey, I want to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a few Easter plans with the at the Pajeski household, and maybe hearing some of your ideas for Easter as well. Brad Young, 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Jeski, is this kind of like a Easter folk dance music, or what are we, what are we looking at?
This is traditional Polish folk music.
Traditional Polish folk music. Yep. Excellent. Well, that's a fantastic lead-in to, and I think we briefly talked about it last week, but since Easter is coming up this weekend, I wanted to make sure that we get an update from our own resident Polish heritage guru.
I don't know about that.
Matt Pajeski. So what's going on at the Pajeski household for Easter?
Every Easter, we go to church in the morning. It's usually a great church service with the full orchestra and the choir. We love that.
Nice.
We go home. When we were younger, my sister and I would, you know, run through the yard and pick up Easter eggs, do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty normal up until that part, up until then. Now, we are a Polish family, and I don't know how far back this dates, or if it's even Polish, or if it's just Eastern European, for that matter. But we take, you know, hard-boiled Easter eggs that were dyed in all these pretty colors, and we I don't know the correct word I should use, but we, for lack of a better word, we butt them together.
Mm-hmm. And egg tapping.
Egg you tapping, tap or egg butting, we call it. And only one egg is going to crack if you hit, you know, if you and a friend or a family member are battling it out. Only one egg's going to crack, so you just keep battling it out with the family members, and whoever's the last egg remaining is the winner for that year.
Is the winner. Well, here's what I want to ask about. Is there a tactic that you use, a special tactic, about how whenever you're tapping the eggs, if you don't mind sharing the Matt Pajeski secret here, what do you use in that in terms of strategy?
Well, I try to use the more pointed end of the egg, if that makes sense.
Right.
And it's not about like the location of where you tap it. It's more like you got to catch your opponent off guard. So I'm doing little jukes left, right. I'm gonna fake left and I'm gonna fake right. And then I'm gonna do an undercut, and then I might go over top. So and there's times where, you know, you can hit it and nothing happens and nobody gets their eggs cracked. So you kind of just gotta hit it at the right angle. There's not really a science to it. I think it's all just luck. And, you know, my strong grandpa could go up against my wimpy little sister and she could, you know, beat him. So there's no strength or any skill required in this at all. It's just kind of a goofy tradition that we've got.
Well, whenever my kids were in grade school, they would do this stunt where you had to build a contraption and they would throw raw eggs off the roof of the building. And you had to build a contraption that fit within a certain parameter. And the goal was to have the egg hit the ground and not break. It's a raw egg, right? So I came up with all of these elaborate ideas that were completely not founded in any form of science. They were just from the imagination of Brad Young, and I would come up with all these ideas. None of them worked, all right? So I say that because I'm thinking, when we're talking about this egg tapping thing, that if you had a loose grip on the egg, that whenever you tapped it, it would move backwards and reduce the amount of force on your egg and perhaps prevent it from cracking. Now, again, I'm telling you this because there's absolutely no basis in science. I'm just saying that would sound kind of like a good strategy. So if you could employ...
I will incorporate that method into this weekend's...
Employ that strategy and see if it does any good.
Right.
Now, I will tell you that we've had several folks texting in about this. One person says their favorite Easter tradition is an egg fight. So this isn't really an egg fight at the Pajeski house.
No,
it's
no.
more of a...
This is a
gentlemanly civilized
game.
Duel.
Yes.
It's like a duel, right?
Yeah, there's no mess being made. They're hard-boiled eggs. There's no, you know, running yolk or anything. Nobody's getting any eggs over their nice Easter suits or anything like that. This is a gentlemanly game, like you said.
Well, when I see this text about the egg fight, I'm thinking like the scene from Animal House where there's the food fight scene in Animal House. And given all the work, like we're having about, I don't know, 25, 30 people at my house for Easter. And my wife is going to go to enormous effort to pull this together. And if there was a total egg fight in that environment, that would be the last Easter that's held at our house. So that is not happening. Take it outside and you can hose everybody off. So what is your favorite Easter tradition, if you've got one? At my household, again, we're going to be going to church as we do every Sunday. And one year, I thought this was funny. One year we were at church and the place was packed out. And the pastor said, for those of you who aren't normally here, we just want you to know we do this every Sunday. And it got a big laugh. But we'll be going to church, and after church we'll have folks over, and it'll be a great day. But what about your family tradition? I would like to hear that. 314-436-7900. I will tell you about a different family tradition, and that is apparently at NBC. At NBC News, you might recall over the last few days that they were going to hire the former Republican National Committee chairperson, Ronna McDaniel. She was going to leave her post. In fact, she left her post as the RNC chairperson and was going to be an analyst on NBC. Now, first of all, that was shocking because there aren't many conservatives, there aren't many Republicans that you see on the news. You just don't see that. I always find it funny when I record either Face the Nation or I record Meet the Press on NBC as we go to church and I come home and I watch it. They say we're going to have this round table. Well, everyone in the round table, it's like the Indianapolis 500. I mean, everybody's seeing how fast they can turn to the left, going as fast as they can. And there's never any conservative voices on there. And it's always frustrating, but I still watch it. So here was an opportunity for NBC to actually hire a conservative voice. And what happened? She worked one day. There was a firestorm of controversy from Chuck Todd, Kristen Welker, Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski. All of these folks came out. They were outraged that NBC would hire a former chair of the Republican National Committee. And they made all of these arguments about, well, she's obviously a partisan. Well, guess what? Biden's former press secretary, Jen Psaki, is obviously partisan. She was the president's press secretary, for goodness sakes. She came to NBC. She has her own show on MSNBC. I don't recall there being any outrage about that. So why is it okay for NBC to have a president's press secretary leave the post and come and work at NBC, but the former Republican National Committee can't do that? Now, I understand the arguments. I understand the positions. We've got some folks calling in here, and we're going to have to take a break. But what are your thoughts? Is it okay for NBC just to basically exclude Republicans, or is it not okay? I mean, should the networks not hire any former political officials or spokespersons for political offices? Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. It seems like if it's okay on one side, why can't it be okay on the other side? Would love to hear your thoughts on that. We've got some folks calling in, and obviously we've got some folks texting in on that point as well. 314-436-7900. We'll be back right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Camel X. Brad Young here. You know, when I played that song in my garage band in the 80s, it didn't sound anything like Pat Benatar. I will just let you know that. I do have one. We've got some folks texting in. One person texted, one person called in, talking about with the egg fight at Easter, that it's very civilized. There's no food fight. There's no reenactment of Animal House. It's just hitting eggs with a very light tap. So that sounds like the egg tapping at the Pajeski household. But speaking the Pajeski household, I do have a question for you, Matt. And that is, one person texted in saying, what do you do after that egg tapping contest? What do you do with all the cracked eggs?
Well, some people eat them. They are, I mean, you know, they're not gross or anything. They're hard-boiled eggs. I'm not a big fan of hard-boiled eggs.
Me either.
I toss mine or give them to somebody else, but, you know, you really just throw them away.
Okay.
Or eat it, or put them in a salad. You know, that's
put them in a salad.
Yeah.
But it's the fun. It's the competition with family members that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That is the fun part. Absolutely. Well, I do want to mention this. I mentioned before the break and about this thing at NBC News, and I want to clear out this topic before we move on to a different topic, and that's this. Cesar Conde, he is the chair of NBC Universal News. After Ronna McDaniel was fired, basically this, and I got a quote here. Here's what he said. No organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned, unquote. Now, was he talking about politically? Because if that's the case, we know every statistic shows that the media is about 90 to 95% left, progressive, Democrat. So if they're looking for cohesiveness and alignment, then it seems that there would be no room for any Republicans to be there. And yet, in his conclusion statement, Cesar Conde said this, that NBC News still wants to, quote, seek voices that represent different parts of the political spectrum, unquote. Really? Are you really seeking that when you fired somebody after one day of employment? You fired them. Who's going to take that job? What conservative is going to leave whatever it is they're doing to go do that job if the last person got fired after the first day? I don't know that. Are you really seeking different voices, or are you merely trying to put out a PR statement that you're seeking different voices? I would love to hear that clarified. Mike's been holding for a while. Hey, Mike, welcome to Camo X.
Hey, how you doing, Brad?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, you know what Hitler did when he took over as Chancellor of Germany? One of the first things he did was took over the media.
Mm-hmm.
And he found a really, really smart guy in Joseph Goebbels, and he took over the newspapers, and he took over the radio stations. Excuse me. And guess what the Democrats are doing? Exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It works. It works like a champ.
Well, it's not working tonight here on Camo X, I'll tell you that.
Well, it may not be working, but it's working nationwide.
Unfortunately, Mike, there is a lot of truth to what you say, my friend, and it is truly unfortunate. You know, I wouldn't want a media devoid of liberal viewpoint. I want the clash of ideas. That's why I do this show. I love the discussion of ideas. And yet NBC or most of the other media, mainstream media, is simply looking to only hear from a single perspective. And to me, that's troubling. I mean, I don't watch Newsmax TV because I don't want to hear one exclusive perspective. I want to hear a blend of ideas and to see that clash of ideas to see how the truth comes out. And yet we don't hear that when all you have is a liberal echo chamber known as the mainstream media.
You watch 6 o'clock news. You'll see those guys, Lester Holt or whoever it is on the gal, they'll take Trump's comments at his rallies out of context and make him look like a villain. And I'm not the biggest Trump fan in the world, but I'm certainly not the biggest Biden fan either.
Exactly. Exactly. And yet you don't hear it the other way. You never hear of, with all of the gaffes that the president does, with all of the silly things he says, you don't hear that being reported, but you do hear the Trump gaffes reported frequently and often. And, I wonder why you only hear one side of that.
Well, I always think back. I've read several books. I read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and that's about 3 inches thick. And I read all kinds of stuff on the on the Nazi regime, and that's one of the first things they did. And the Democrats have got it down to a science.
Well, Mike, you are a learned and wise man, my friend. Thanks for calling in tonight and sharing your thoughts on Camo X.
Well, I don't know about that last part, but I love listening to you. Good night.
Take the compliment, buddy, and go with it. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for calling in. There was an interesting thing that happened also with Jon Stewart this week, and I find Jon Stewart to generally be funny. I mean, I don't ever agree with him except for the whole COVID lab leak thing. I did agree with him on that. But other than that, you know, he and I don't agree on anything, but I can still laugh. I find liberal humor funny. It doesn't offend me. I'm not a snowflake. I don't run away and scream and cry. I can find it funny. But here is something, though, that is being funny in a way that I don't think Jon Stewart intended, because he is facing a backlash right now because he did a bit, you know, he's back on The Daily Show, and he did a bit Monday night talking about Trump's inability to get this $454 million appeal bond. He can't get it. There's no insurance companies that are going to give him an appeal bond that large. So the court reduced it to, I believe, $175 million. He's got to put up the cash for, and he's working on that now. But in the midst of this problem with Donald Trump, Jon Stewart goes into a bit where he's mocking Donald Trump about Trump's exaggeration of the value of his assets. Here's what he said.
And the Attorney General of New York knew that Trump's property values were inflated because when it came time to pay taxes, Trump undervalued the very same properties. It was all part of a very sophisticated real estate practice known as lying. So the judge calculated that the value that he gained from the lying with interest was around $454 million. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, that sounds pretty straightforward. Whatever gains you got from lying, you have to pay back.
But here's what was funny in a way that Jon Stewart didn't intend, because there are a lot of bright internet people out there who did some homework, and it looks like good old Jon Stewart had a house. He had a house recently that he sold for $17.5 million, but he took steps up until the point that he sold the house for $17.5 million. That's an important number. Keep that in mind. That he had the house valued at less than $1 million. In fact, he had the house assessed at $847,174. And so by lowering the value of his property, he was able to pay a lower property tax. New York has some of the highest property taxes in the country. And so by undervaluing his property from $17.5 million, which was the sale price, down to a low of $847,000, he paid lower taxes. And guess what? That's exactly what he was mocking Trump for, because he was mocking Trump. And again, anyone who listens to this show knows I'm not a big Donald Trump fan. But what I am is a fan of making sure that ideas have consistency. And Jon Stewart was mocking Trump for taking actions to devalue or to lower the value of his properties in order to pay less taxes on it. And when Trump called it and others called it a victimless crime, Jon Stewart, in his show Monday night, went to great lengths to explain how this is not a victimless crime, is that people are actually stealing money from the state because they're undervaluing their property, and yet he was doing the exact same thing. And so, Mr. Stewart, if you're going to mock former President Donald Trump for undervaluing his properties, take a look at your own properties before you do that, because you're doing the exact same thing. And it seems that the joke at the end of the day, he meant it to be on Donald Trump, but at the end of the day, the joke was on him. Hey, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk briefly about some of the rhetoric that we're hearing in this election, like democracy is on the line, that democracy is at stake when we vote in November. But the party that is talking about democracy being on the line is also the party that's trying to squelch third-party candidates from running for office. I'll give you the details next on At Your Service, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service for our last segment this evening. Brad Young here with you. Thanks for sticking around for 2 hours here on a Wednesday night and hanging out with me. I appreciate it, and I know that you enjoy lively conversation. So one of the things that I think is intriguing is if I asked you, and think this to yourself for a moment, if I asked you, what does democracy mean to you? What does democracy mean? And I suspect that if you called me right now or texted me right now, you would say one of several things. Democracy means the ability to vote. Democracy means choosing leaders, where the public gets to choose their leaders. You know, they don't have democracy in Russia. The joke is that Vladimir Putin got 120% of the vote. So democracy means that you have a voice, that you get to choose the leaders you want. Now, obviously, if it doesn't work out according to the Electoral College, your person may not win or not. But you still have a choice. You have the right to decide. And some people may choose not to participate. But that's what democracy means, right? And so that's why there were two things here in the last month, one in particular last week, that just jumped out at me because it was an anti-democratic idea. And yet, ironically, it comes from the party that identifies as the Democrat Party. Now, you know, again, if you've heard my show even once, you'll know that I don't sling labels. I don't call people names. I don't do anything like that. My show is about ideas. I like to talk about ideas, the consequences of ideas, and the implications of ideas. Not party affiliation, not a cult of personality, not endorsing people, but going about the idea. So having said that, though, the Democrat National Committee, and again, I'm discussing this in the context of an idea, has moved to block third-party candidates from running for office, in particular in the platform of the Democrat Party and how they want to set up the rules for the election. The National Democrat Committee is making efforts to block candidates like Robert Kennedy Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein from running. Now, why are they doing that? Well, it's not hard to figure out. If you go all the way back to 2000 and Bush versus Gore, the election came down to which way Florida went. That's what determined the outcome of the election. And because of Ralph Nader being on the ballot in 2000, taking votes away from Albert Gore in Florida, in all likelihood, that cost Al Gore the election because Ralph Nader was on the ballot. So I understand the practicality of saying we don't want third-party candidates to interfere with our election. Same thing happened in 2016. There were third-party candidates who siphoned votes away from Hillary Clinton that probably allowed Donald Trump to win. But conceptually, isn't it problematic that a party that identifies as the Democrat Party is taking steps to be anti-democratic? In other words, to say, we don't want you, Joe Citizen, to have the right to vote for Robert Kennedy Jr. We don't want you to have the opportunity to vote for Cornel West. We don't even want to give you the choice of voting for Jill Stein. We don't want you to give you that choice. And by its very nature, that seems to be anti-democratic. Secondly, we had litigation involving keeping Donald Trump off the ballot. We had that in Colorado, where the Colorado Supreme Court took him off the ballot. We had it in Illinois, where a judge tried to take Donald Trump off the ballot. And in Maine, we had a single Secretary of State remove Donald Trump from the ballot. Now, I'm no Donald Trump fan. I've never voted for Donald Trump. And so I'm not making this argument to support former President Trump. I'm making the argument conceptually that isn't it anti-democratic to say, and the Biden administration supported this litigation at the Supreme Court level, to say you should not even have the opportunity to vote for Donald Trump. Isn't that innately an anti-democratic idea? I think that it is. And what to me, and you heard it right here on this show, in the months leading up to the Supreme Court decision, I publicly said, you can go back and check the podcast if you want. I said it multiple times. that I predicted that the Supreme Court would issue a unanimous decision allowing Trump to be on the ballot. Why was I so confident in making that decision, of making that prediction? Here was why. Two reasons, really. Number one, the 14th Amendment didn't say what the progressives wanted it to say. But secondly, and more importantly, will the Supreme Court allow a state, let's say in this instance Colorado, to literally say we're not going to allow a candidate whom we disagree with to be on the ballot? Because what would be the ramifications of that idea if all of a sudden the Supreme Court would have ruled the other way? You know exactly as well as I do that the very next month, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Texas would automatically pass resolutions saying that President Biden couldn't be on the ballot for whatever reason. And just intellectually, you understand how if one side can say, we don't want this candidate to be on the ballot for whatever reason we're going to construct, and the court says that's okay, you can exclude people from the ballot, then the opposite political persuasion will do the exact same thing. And then if you think our election in 2020 was crazy, what kind of election do you think we would have if we had various states excluding candidates from the ballot, being inherently anti-democratic and saying we as the government are not going to allow you to vote for this candidate? Now, I always hate to make comparisons with other countries, and I never make comparisons with Nazi Germany, even if they're applicable, because there's just too much emotional baggage comparing something to Nazi Germany. So I never do that. But we have a very recent example in history of Vladimir Putin literally killing his opponent, killing Navalny in Russia to make sure that he did not have any impact on the election. Now, no one's suggesting that someone would kill, although I think there are some far-left progressives who would like to kill Donald Trump. And I, just as I know there are some far-right conservatives who would unfortunately advocate for killing President Biden. All of those are wrong. All of those are despicable positions. But so too is the idea that because I inherently disagree with you, I'm going to keep you off the ballot. Because I'm afraid of you, Robert Kennedy, Cornel West, or Jill Stein, because I'm afraid that you might siphon votes away from the candidate that I want to have win, then I'm going to move as a political party to literally block you from running as a third-party candidate. How is in any way, shape, form, or manner is that democratic? How in any way, shape, form, or manner does that give you, the voter, choices? I get a lot of folks who like to come up to me and talk to me about political issues. They hear me on the air. They hear me filling in for folks, and they want to talk to me about these ideas. I love that. I love discussing these ideas. And I got to tell you, the most common comment that I get, probably 75% of the time, is that I wish we had more candidates to choose from. I don't like President Biden. I don't like former President Trump. Why can't we have someone else to choose from? And that's not just in this election. If you think back years, you've probably said that yourself. I know I have. You probably have too. And as you think about you making that comment and the mindset that you had when you uttered those words, don't you want more choices? And if more choices are what we need for elected officials to run this country, why should one of the two main political parties be taking moves to give us less of a choice, not more? We need more choices, not less. And yet less is what we're being offered by the party that literally has the word democratic in its name. Let's do better, folks. We can aspire to do better. Speaking of doing better, nobody does it better than Dave Glover. He's coming up, the best of Dave Glover, at 10 o'clock tonight here on Camo X. I should be on next Wednesday night. Can't promise it, but hope to see you then.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.